What we want to do in this lesson is start applying the mnemonic techniques that we've learned in the previous lessons. Now, keep in mind, in any type of application of mnemonics, the science of memory, anything we've learned, all revolves around three rules. Number one, you need a place to store the information. Number two, you need the information turned into a vivid picture using the powers of our imagination. And number three, you need mental glue to hold the picture in the place. And that mental glue is, of course, action. Movement in an exaggerated, ridiculous, ludicrous, nonsensical, illogical way, in such a way where those two pictures, the peg and that which you want to recall, are put together in such a ridiculous fashion that it could never happen in real life. And that act of doing that locks in and engages your own superpower memory, your own mega memory, your own photographic memory. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples here, and then we're going to go back to the workbook, which has more detailed and outlined examples of mnemonics. Most people up until this point have already figured out how to apply the techniques. In our live sessions at this point, people are always throwing out examples when I ask the group, tell me how we could apply this to such and such or such and such. People begin throwing out ideas because it's a very simple process. And keep in mind, as we begin doing this over the next 21 days, we begin to build the habits and the mind begins to go on automatic pilot. So it begins to do what we're learning automatically and without any conscious effort or thought. Couple examples of mnemonics. Number one, let's talk about things to do. People throughout the day usually think of things they need to do either that day or the next day. What a lot of individuals do is they actually write down this on a things-to-do list. Perhaps they have a list on their refrigerator or maybe a chalkboard. Some people actually have day timers and different time management tools where they keep track of their thoughts, of their things to do on a daily basis. Well, we're not going to write things down, or at least not when we think about them initially. We can always transfer what we want to remember to a permanent record, a written record later. But let's talk about when you're driving in your car and you think about, oh, that's right, on the way home, I got to pick up the dry cleaning. Or perhaps when you just wake up out of bed and you're taking a shower and you think, oh, I need to pick up milk and bread at the grocery store. Or perhaps when you're sleeping at 2 o'clock in the morning, you get this notion, oh, that's right, I got to remember tomorrow to go by the bank because I don't have any cash. We think of things throughout the day that we need to do. Well, how do we remember them? The first thing you need to do is establish what you want to use as your permanent things to do today list. Now, I use my body list. Many people use the tree list, and a very large amount of people use their house list as their things to do today list. The only habit that you have to get involved here is this simple one. Every day, throughout the day, get into the habit of looking at your things to do today list. Well, obviously it's not written down, so throughout the day, the habit that you must establish is to look in your mind at the list where you store your things to do. Let me give an example. If you had a book called the Day Timers or a Time Text or one of the other time management tools available, if you had a notebook or a book which stored your things to do today, if you forgot to look at that list, is that list going to help you? Of course not. If you didn't look at the list throughout the day, your written down list, it's not going to help you. Same thing here. You need to get into the habit of reviewing your list mentally in your mind. Now, let's say you're going to use your body list as your things to do today list. And let's say you're going about your business throughout the day and you think of perhaps, oh, I have to pick up my dry cleaning today. Well, what you would do is simply get a picture of dry cleaning, a simple, crystal clear, vivid, detailed picture. You get a vivid picture of the first peg on your things to do today peg list, which in this case would be the body list. And of course, that first peg is toes. Get a vivid picture of both of those, and you put them together using action. Maybe you're tying your dry cleaning around your toes. Maybe you're nailing the dry cleaning to the toes. Whatever you want to do, a vivid picture of the first peg, a vivid picture of the dry cleaning, and put them both together using action in a ludicrous, nonsensical, illogical, ridiculous, exaggerated, colorful, funny, smelly, loud way. Feel the feelings, smell the smells, include sound, include smell, include all your senses as you can in the pegging process. Then maybe throughout the day you're also thinking, oh, that's right, I have to go pick up some money at the cash machine. Well, just put money all over your knees using action. Vivid pictures with lots of action. And then as you're driving, you have to think, oh, that's right, I have to go and pick up some bread at the grocery store. Put bread all over your muscle. So as you think of things throughout the day, you simply peg them to a list. Now as you're driving, you think, what do I have to do today? You go right back to the peg list and you look at your toes and you go, oh, that's right, got to pick up the dry cleaning. Go to your knees, that's right, I already got the cash and I need to pick up that bread on the way home. So you would simply peg this to a list. Let me give you another example of applications. Maybe some of you, like most of us, put your keys down, have a sandwich, then spend 30 or 40 minutes trying to find the keys. All you need to do is add action in this case. You need to get a vivid picture of the keys. That's what you want to remember. You need to get a vivid picture of wherever you lay the keys. That is your peg. That's where you store the information because that's where you're vividly putting them. And get a vivid picture of both of those items and use action. Let's say you're putting your keys on a chair. Well, when you put the keys on a chair, vividly see the keys make the chair explode in your mind's eye. Or some type of action. That's it. That instantaneous focus of the keys and the chair, the fact that you have to include the action causes the memory to be engaged, causes you to focus on that act and locks it into the memory. Then when you think, where are my keys? Your mind says, dummy, they blew up the chair. And you know exactly where they are. Let's say you go on a trip, and maybe some of you store your jewelry where no one will ever find it. And for some of you listening, probably some of you have done this, and still no one has ever found the jewelry. I'm sure it's still there, but where is it? All you need to do is include action. Maybe you put your jewelry box in the bedroom closet on the second level, up underneath the sweaters. Just simply use action. As you put that up there, make believe you see that jewelry box get red hot, maybe start all the sweaters on fire, fill up the whole room with smoke. Just that simple, less than a tenth of a second act of focusing, getting a vivid picture, and including action makes the memory remember. That's it. It's so simple. When you include a picture and action, folks, this is not difficult. It's amazing how fast and how easy the mind begins to recall information and data at will. As you begin doing this, what happens is every time you do something or think of something, the mind focuses on it because your mind will automatically begin to turn it into vivid pictures. When you include action, it's locked in virtually until you want to recall it. It's amazing when you start applying this how fast and how easy and how workable it really is, but most importantly, how accurate and how powerful your memories really are. Maybe some of you have trouble finding directions. Directions is something that people give us many times, and we get lost as we're thinking of, you know, which way do we take a right, which way do we take a left? In directions, there are simply a few things, left and right. If you want to recall directions, you need to take left and right and turn them into pictures. From now on, right is going to give you a picture of a rat. When you see a rat, that's going to mean to you to take a right. Left is going to be a picture of leaves. So when you see leaves, you're going to know to take a left. Why is rat right and leaves left? No reason. I just made those up. Maybe because rat starts with an R for right, and maybe leaves start with an L for left. It doesn't really matter. The fact is you'll know that a rat means right. Not left. A rat means right. And you'll know that leaves, a vivid picture of leaves, means left. Not right, but left. So watch how you do this. Let's say someone's giving you directions. The first rule when you get directions is always ask for landmarks. Why? Landmarks give us what? Pictures. So when someone's giving you directions, always ask for landmarks. It gives you vivid pictures. Someone says you go down the road several blocks till you get to an Exxon gas station and you take a right. In your mind's eye, just vividly see an Exxon gas station and picture rats, big old rats, pumping gas. In your mind's eye. Then he'll say go down the road until you come to a white bank and then take a left. in your mind's eye, vividly see a white bank and put leaves all over it. Maybe they're burning. Vivid pictures with action. That's it. That's all. Now someone says, well, how am I going to remember that? Remember what I said earlier in the book by Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics. The mind doesn't know the difference between what it's vividly imagined or what it sees with its eyes. Well, if you drove down a street and you vividly saw an Exxon gas station and you took a right, and you vividly saw it with your eye, as you're driving down that same road several months later, when you see that Exxon gas station, your mind says, ah, I remember this. How many times does that happen to you listening to this tape? We've driven in a city where you've been before, and you think, oh, I remember that post office. As soon as you see it, because you saw it once before and you focused on it, the mind recalls it. Well, our eyes are not going to see that Exxon gas station, but what is going to see it? That's right, your imagination, your mind's eye. And it doesn't know the difference between what it really saw with its eyes or what it was vividly imagined. So when you're driving down that road and you see the Exxon gas station, your mind's going to immediately throw up, hey, hey, this is it. There's rats all over it. And you take a right. And as you begin to drive down that road, you look around for something that rings the bell. And as soon as you spot that white bank, guess what pops into your mind? Leaves are all over it and you take a left. Your minds are powerful. You have perfect, retentive, and amazing memories. Now, what I'd like you to do at this point in the tape is to go back to the workbook. There are several exercises in the work which go over some additional applications. Do the exercises in the workbook at this time and then come back to the tape. You can shut the tape off now. Okay. Those exercises began to expand your mind about the possibilities of applications. In this particular section, you'll notice additional applications. What I would like you to do is go through those applications, scan them. Some will not have any interest to you whatsoever. Some will have very specific interest. If you'll notice, some of them are broken up in different categories depending on professions and so forth. You can use these applications as a guide on how to apply mnemonics. But the rules are always the same. Number one, a place to store information. Number two, the information turned into a vivid picture. And number three, mental glue to hold that picture in the place. Now, number one says you need a place to store the information. At this point, I want to explain that some of the applications may refer to additional peg lists. You can enhance or expand your own peg list depending on your needs and depending on the applications you'd like to use. As an example, some students expand their house list to more rooms and more pegs in each room, depending on if they need additional information. Some students make a school list, where in perhaps one of their classrooms or around the school buildings, they choose pegs, places where they can store information, always going in an order. Maybe in their school, or some people use this as an office list if you work in an office, where maybe the front door or the front lobby is the first peg. Or maybe something in that lobby, like the fountain, is the first peg. The second peg is maybe the elevator. The next peg is perhaps the washroom. The next peg is maybe the glass partition that you walk through to go into your office. Maybe the next peg is the receptionist desk, etc., etc. Notice how we went in an order. How do we commit those pegs to memory? You choose them, review them three times, and you'll have them committed to memory. Make sure each peg is very picturable, etc. Some people expand in their house 10 pegs in each room in 5 or 6 rooms. It gives them 60 or more pegs. As a student, that can be very, very helpful to you. Go back now to the workbook, follow and look through, and just scan some of the other applications. These will give you ideas on how to expound on mnemonic technique.